Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Mark Man Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. You can contact me by going to my email sites, markheff20@gmail.com. That's markheff20@gmail.com. Or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Well, you probably saw the Oscars last night or looked at highlights like I did of it. Oscar-winning actor for King Richard, Will Smith, the slap of comic MC Chris Rock last night at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. Was it real or was it staged? Was it staged or was it real? Well, it seemed like it was, you know, initially, but then Smith looked very angry. I don't think he was playing a part. And, you know, his words were real, passion. So, you know, I read about the fact there's been some bad blood between them in the past, and probably due to some of Rock's jokes, maybe insensitive jokes about his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. And the same scenario, you know, at the Oscars last night, referring to her as, you know, G.I. Jane 2, reference to a movie made by Demi Moore, you know, years ago. Here's the whole thing. If you're a Hollywood celebrity, an athlete, an entertainer, a big-time person in Los Angeles, Hollywood, making a lot of money, you got to have a thicker skin, man. I mean, come on now. You're going to be criticized by a lot of people, even if you're great. Look at Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James. There's actresses. That's kind of the name of the game. I don't know how you can make it in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles for two, three, or four decades if you don't have a thick skin. I mean, does anybody have a thick skin anymore today? It seems like everybody's ultra-sensitive about everything. Now, I understand that Jada has an issue with her hair, and she had her hair shaved at one time, and she colors it in a variety of colors from time to time. I have seen her podcast before. She delves in a lot of serious and personal issues and sometimes gossips about other people. I've only seen about two of the shows. On one program, Will Smith was on there, and she was talking about a relationship that she had with a mutual friend. Now, Will was aware of the relationship. He was also aware that they had, you know, a sexual relationship. He didn't like the fact that she was talking about it on her podcast, which I thought was kind of strange, too. But I didn't see the Will Smith that you saw on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, there's two sides to the guy. But he's also admitted he's had affairs with his wife. So, to me, they have a very odd relationship. They're an odd couple, nevertheless. So, maybe he projects something to some people, but there's another side of him. You know, there's two personalities there. He's not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air all the time. He's a great actor, a lot of talent, but kind of a strange dude, and so is his wife. That's just my opinion. But if I'm Chris Rock, I thought he did a great job after that fact. I think he was kind of stunned by it, and he went on, did a thing. But if I see Will Smith coming up to me, I'm going to be ready. If I'd said something that may be disparaging about him or his wife, I'm not going to let the guy slap me. And if I'm Rock, he slaps me or tries to slap at me, he's not going to get away with it. I don't have to wait for the Academy. And they are investigating the incident right now. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631 is our phone number. What do you think about that? Okay. NCAA Men's Basketball Final Four. Two great matchups coming up. Excellent coaches. North Carolina won the East Regional. And Duke won the West. The first time that the Tar Heels and Blue Devils will meet ever in the NCAA tournament. And it could be the final game for Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski of Duke. Well, I picked UCLA to win the East Regional and Gonzaga to beat Duke in the West Regional. Shows you how much I know. And the other semifinal, Villanova, won the South against Kansas, the winners of the Midwest. And I picked Arizona to win the South and Kansas to win the Midwest. And the finals will be in New Orleans. Going back to the semis on Saturday, Jermaine Samuel, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Caleb Daniels, 12-6. He's got a shot very well. Samuel, 6-10. Daniels, 4-16. As number two, Villanova, the number five, Houston, in a very low-scoring affair, 50-44. That was in the South region. Jay Wright, moving on, the head coach of Villanova. In the West, Coach K, now 13-4 in regional finals. As number two, Duke, took care of number four, Arkansas, 78-69. A.J. Griffin, 18 points for Duke, 7-9 shooting. Banchero, 16-7, 4-11 shooting. He was the MVP. So you have that particular matchup. And then, as we look at some of the games taking place yesterday, a blowout win, number eight, North Carolina, 69, St. Peter's, 49. Baycott, who's been a monster the last couple of games, the center for North Carolina, 20 points, 22 rebounds, a couple of blocks. Manic, 19-8. The guy looks like Justin Turner of the Dodgers, a graduate. Nadefo, 10-7, and Drain, 12-7 for St. Peter's. That game's over with in the first half. No contest. So the Cinderella St. Peter's team, the glass slipper kind of came off very early in that game. No contest. So North Carolina Duke playing in that Final Four for the first time. Hubert Davis, new coach at North Carolina. He played there in the 90s. And Mike Tucheski ending a 42-year run at Duke. Wow. 1,129 victories for him. Now, North Carolina has won 7 national titles, and they have been in a best ever 21 Final Fours. This will be their 21st Final Four appearance. They last won in 2017. Okay, number one, Kansas, 76. Number 10, Miami, 50. So the slipper kind of came off the Cinderella of Miami. They were kind of blown away in the second half. Played a good first half. Agbaji, 18-5 for Kansas. McCormick, 15-4. Martin, 9.6 boards. Regional MVP. Needs to improve his free throw shooting, though. But Dusty, 18-4 for Miami. Wong, 15 points. Kansas outscored Miami 47-15 in the second half. 47-15. 16-27 field goals for Kansas. Only problem for Kansas in their history, they seem like they have great teams every year. But did you realize that they've only won 3 national titles in basketball? Bill Self, now in his 4th Final Four appearance, 16th Final Four for Kansas. He's won 1 national title in 19 years. Jayhawks lost to Jay Wright and Villanova 95-79 in the 2018 title game, and they meet again. Jay Wright, Villanova head coach, in 21 years, 4 Final Fours, 2 championships, and in 2016 beat North Carolina 77-74. So both KU and Villanova, both schools have won 3 national titles. Jay Wright, as I mentioned, for Nova, has won 2 championships. Bill Self of Kansas has won 1 championship in his 4th Final Four. And then, of course, you have Tucheski, who's won 5 at Duke, going for number 6, and in his Final Four. And then you have Hubert Davis, who's, you know, kind of a new coach. He was an assistant a long time to Roy Williams, who's been at most of the games this year. In fact, he was a handpicked successor to Roy Williams there at North Carolina, whom he played, you know, years ago. So great coaches, great programs, blue bloods all over the place. Should be very, very exciting. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631 is our number. This is Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. I'm Mark Heffernan. So some great matchups, as you would say. Okay, happened today. The Dodgers, first baseman, left fielder Matt Beatty, he was traded to the San Diego Padres, Mancini's team. Good depth. He's 6 feet. He'll be 29 years old in April. He went to Belmont University, 18 home runs, 91 RBIs at 262 this past year. So Beatty going to the Padres. I don't know why the Dodgers trade players to rivals like San Francisco or San Diego. Never can figure that out. Now, if I was playing for the Dodgers, I don't know if I would want to go to San Francisco, but I would go to San Diego. That's just what I think. Okay, 16-year-old Czech Republic teen Linda Kvitová, she reached the Miami Open Final 16. The youngest player to do that since about 2003, I think it was, Linda Kvitová. Now, she knocked out Victoria Azarenka 6-2-3 love yesterday. Azarenka had to retire because she had some injuries. She was crying at the end. Maybe she was embarrassed to be losing 6-2, 3-love to a very good teen player from the Czech Republic, Lenda Fruvertsova. We'll see what happens to the 16-year-old. Very interesting. Okay, men's college basketball. The Basketball Classic, is that a new tournament? Fresno State's alma mater playing Southern Utah. That's happening tonight. Southern Utah from the Big Sky and Fresno State from Midwest Mountain West Conference finished sixth this year. Utah 23-11 and Fresno State 21-13. That is going on this evening. NBA tonight, Golden State's playing Memphis, Orlando against Cleveland, Atlanta against Indianapolis, Denver taking on Charlotte, Chicago playing the Knicks, Sacramento playing Miami, who's lost four consecutive games, Portland playing Toronto, San Antonio against Houston, and OKC against Portland at 7 o'clock. All the other games are at 4:30 or 5 o'clock. What about those Lakers? Well, they blew a big 23-point lead yesterday late in the second quarter, led by 20 at the half, four after three, and they lost 116-108 to New Orleans. The Pelicans on the road. LeBron had 39 points, only four in the fourth quarter. Now, right now, New Orleans is 32-43. The Lakers are 31-43. They're in the 10th seed, but right behind them, although San Antonio Spurs at 30-44, but the Spurs on the tiebreaker over the Lakers because they have a better conference record. The team split four meetings this year. And at this point, New Orleans has a better tiebreaker against the Lakers because they've won their first two meetings. They play once now. So the Lakers are not in good company. If they tie the same record as the Pelicans or San Antonio, those teams will go ahead of them because they have the tiebreaker over the Lakers. You can't blow a 23-point lead. I don't care at home, whatever. But they've done that a lot this year. NCAA, women's basketball, Elite Eight. Company right now, number two, Connecticut, over number one, North Carolina State. And later on at six, number three, Michigan, against number one, Louisville. Final four is at Caesars Superdome in New Orleans. UCLA women advanced to the WNIT semis by beating Oregon State 74-66. Charisma Osborne, 31 points for the Bruins. They're 18-12. Oregon State finished their season at 17-14. Lady Bruins played San Diego State on Thursday. Also, number three UCLA, the softballers, rallied to Neb Washington 5-4 and sweep a very big Pac-12 series. Washington ranked number nine. Elaine Witts hit her seventh homer of the year for UCLA. Bruins are now 28-3. They won 21 consecutive games. Megan Ferrano is now 13-1. UCLA will host Oregon on Friday. And that is at Jackie Robinson Stadium. That will be a great affair. Oregon's a good team. Okay. He's an honor host at Fox Sports Radio. I've heard him many times on the air. I've done a lot of work in Portland. I think now resides in South Bend, Indiana. FSR 710 ESPN Seattle. He's had a long career, but he's a young guy. Brian Noe, how's it going? Welcome to Markman Madness. Well, I guess he's not there. 347-205-9631 is our number. 347-205-9631. We can hear from Brian Noe here on the program.
Hello, Tom Hewitt here.
Oh, you are there. Yeah, how are you?
Yes.
What's going on?
Doing good. If my dog stops barking, I'm doing good.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah,
hey man, I love sound effects. It's all right. I can't even hear your dog barking, so it's cool.
Good stuff. All right, the wife's got her under control.
Well, you know, that's live radio. You know, I had a guy on last week, a local dude who I've known for a long time, and it was kind of weird because he was asking me questions about the program at the beginning of the show. Nobody's ever done that before, and I'm thinking like, okay, dude, who's hosting the show, you or me? And the questions he asked me, he could have asked me during the course of the week. I say, if you have any questions, you know, ask me during the course of the week. You know, type me a message, whatever like that. And he was saying, when did the show begin airing and how long you've been doing it and blah, blah, blah. Who do you normally talk to? And I'm thinking, didn't I tell you that during the course of the week? And I was kind of nice to him because I know him and I've done some gigs at his show. He's a producer and a sportscaster at a local ESPN affiliate here in Bakersfield. And it was really weird, and then he was talking about the fact that the show was on the Internet and telling me that, Mark, you need to let down your hair a little bit, but I have short hair. And he says, you know, hey, it's podcasting. It's okay to use four-letter words. And I'm saying, so, like, who's running? I was like, who's running the show, dude? You or me? He's telling what words to use on the air. And now, you know, he's okay to go to the park and have a couple of beers and do the net. I said, yeah, it's fine to do that. But I said, you know, I play sports and everything, but my language in the locker room is a little bit different than it has been on the air behind the mic. And whether I'm doing a radio show, and you're the same way, radio show or TV show or this show, to me, I think you have to have a certain amount of class on the air. And, you know, if you want to do that, you talk about it off the air. And you throw out a few choice words. I kind of let it slide, but it's not really how I roll with the program. And I understand he's talking about FCC regulations that they restrict you too much in radio. I'm thinking, they don't restrict that. They don't restrict me that much in radio, FCC. I mean, because I normally talk the way I'm talking right now. I'll use some words here and there, you know, maybe on the basketball court when I'm working out on my own. But generally, my sisters, my daughter will let me know about it if I say the wrong thing behind a mic. And the thing is, Brian, I do a lot of public address and broadcasting, things like that. And there are people around me. So I'm aware of the kind of genre I'm in and my elements. And so for the most part, I'm a good boy. But it's not really hard. I went to a parochial school, so I had, nuns take a long ruler and slap me on the wrist. I had a teacher pull me by the ear one time going outside. I had a mother that was very tough. I had older sisters, so I'm used to, the discipline, also from playing sports. So that was never something tough for me. So it was just kind of odd because it seemed like he was trying to turn things around and act like he was a host. And at any rate, you've had a good career. You seem like a young guy. You've had a good career at Fox Sports Radio. You're on quite a few times during the week at different times, and some of your times are overnight. And I'm wondering, how do you do that? You have, like, different sleep patterns during the week?
Yeah, I don't know if you're confusing me with I'm Tom Hewitt, and, I'm semi-retired. I did Portland State University basketball and football for 20 years. I worked at Oregon State for 2 years in basketball and football and some baseball. And
I am confusing you. You know why? Because I am confusing because Brian Noah is supposed to be on the program today, calling from South Bend. I actually talked to him about a half hour ago, and I wasn't even ready for you. So this is really weird. So maybe my producer, Mark Mancini, got confused, and he hasn't really sent me a text or anything. So that's why I was going on and on about that. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. He hasn't let me see if he's texted me anything. We'll go on with this. Let's see. Interesting. So he says, hold on. Okay, I don't know what's going on. I'll talk to you, though, instead.
Yeah,
like I said,
I'm
the podcast,
here.
So we just go with the flow. Yeah, you were
Make
scheduled, I think, for next week, and he was scheduled for today.
I was confused.
Yeah, and he and I have been conversing back and forth. Isn't that weird? So I apologize.
Texted me
today, I called you Brian
because
I thought you were Brian, and I guess he got confused as to who you were. But at any rate, let's go back here. I don't have things written down. You're the guy that does. Oh, Brian, okay. Do you mind holding on? Do you mind calling back at about 5:40, Mr. Hewitt?
No problem. Absolutely
Yeah,
no
I'll
problem.
Talk to Brian right now. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right.
So Mr. Hewitt's going to call back a little bit later. Brian Noh is on the program. Brian, what's happening?
What's up, man? What's going on? Are you talking to nine people at once? You got, like, the conference call
going
on tonight?
I thought it was you. I thought it was you and the other guy. You must have me confused with what? And he said that he's supposed to be my guest next week, and I just kind of, confirmed it yesterday with him. And I have an idea that, you know, I think he does Portland State basketball and everything and sports there, but I'm not really prepared for him. I'm prepared for you, but I'm glad everything's cool right now. So he'll be calling, like, later in the show after you're done. So the thing is,
I was hoping that he was going to act as if he was me and just make up a bunch of stuff, and I was just going to sit back and listen to it, you know?
It didn't quite sound like you, but I don't want to make a big deal about it. Since last week, the guy that I had on, a local guy, who's a producer here in the Bakersfield area, and I've worked with him before, he was, like, asking me questions at the beginning of the show as if it was his show. And, you know, about how long has the program been on, how long have I been doing it, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, you could have asked me those shows during the week, guy. I was, you know, we were messaging back and forth. And then he talked about he didn't mind using four-letter words in my program. I said, well, you know, I don't normally do that. It's not something I do. He goes, oh, come on, let your hair down. And FCC doesn't really regulate podcasting like it does radio, and radio's too restrictive and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, it was okay after a while, but it was a little bit strange because it seemed like he thought he was the host of the show. I kind of went along with it because I know him, and it went fine. Anyway, Brian, host of Fox Sports Radio. I've heard you on the air. You work different times. Now, you have your own show, or do you have your own show, and also you're a fill-in guest, fill-in host at other times?
Yeah, well, I just do three shifts right now and then fill in whenever they ask me or need me, basically. So, yeah, I just do an overnight shift. I consider it Friday night because it's, you know, the night of Friday. It's technically early Saturday morning. And then I'll do a Saturday night shift and a Sunday morning shift is what I do on the weekends.
Now, do you also work for NBC Sports Network, NBC Sports Northwest in the Portland area?
No, I used to. I worked there for 3 years. I did a local show there, and it's sort of confusing, sort of not. So the TV station had a partnership with a local radio station, Rip City Radio. And so it was just a sports radio show, but it was broadcast also on TV, which was great. It was a lot of fun. And I was employed by the TV side, NBC Sports Northwest. And they did not re-up with the Blazers. They used to televise Blazer games. And so their deal for this season, and they did not renew it. And so the Blazers are on Root Sports. So as a result, NBC Sports Northwest completely went away. It shut down. So I haven't worked there since, gosh, I think it was July of last year.
Oh. And did they just have like that one camera when I showed you doing the show? You said you worked for the TV network, but it was also on radio. When they showed you, they just used like one camera in the studio?
No, they had a few. They had a
okay.
They had someone operating all of that. They had a nice studio. So they had a few different camera angles, and of course the pandemic changed all that. You're doing it remotely, but in normal times, they had it set up as, what could I compare it to? Maybe like Cowherd, you know, they have a couple of different camera angles with Cowherd. They don't have 17. You really only need two, maybe three, but, that's pretty much what it was. It was just a TV show, or I'm sorry, a radio show that was also on television.
Well, the NBC Sports Radio go defunct because Mark and I have a friend that used to work in Los Angeles. Now he's in Houston, Texas. I know he's worked for ESPN for a while, then NBC Sports Radio. And I think that they folded up at least for him. And then he got a job in Houston. I had him on the show in January. And so what happened to NBC Sports Radio? Is it still around? Did they cut some of the regional sites?
I don't know. I you know, it's a good question. I don't – it might have – they might have gotten rid of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know network is still around. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that's probably what happened because, you know, it happens in the business where you work at a specific radio station and ownership sells it, new people come in suits, and then you know your job is not secure anymore. That happened to me, and you worked in Fresno, but when I was in Porterville, early 90s, KTIP radio, and then I was like a news guy. I did sports on the side, and they were like 24 – well, they weren't 24-7 news on the AM, but quite a bit of it was local news, Porterville, not Visalia, but Porterville. And I remember one day these guys in suits just walked in, and they changed the format of FM station and also of AM station, which was KTIP. And they had a meeting with myself and about three other people later that day. It was on a Friday, and they said, "You people have nothing to worry about. Your jobs are secure." Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I did a basketball game that night, and I went back to Bakersfield over the weekend, and I came back on Sunday evening, and there was like a business card on the outside of my apartment. I thought, I didn't know they knew where I lived. And I said, don't bother coming in tomorrow at 5:30 a.m. Nah, I just check in about 8 o'clock because I normally came in about 5:30 for the farm news and all that kind of stuff. And people just like running all over the place. And I asked one lady, you know, how's it going? She started crying. I thought, gee. It must not be a good day. Then the guy who was the new interim GM was a former music guy. He goes, "Welcome, I'm the new interim GM. How are you?" I said, "I guess not too good because I found out that I didn't have a job anymore." It was really weird. And so, you know what? Think about me is that people in suits at radio stations always kind of make me nervous. And normally people that wear suits are those in administration, the owners, you know, managers. and the people that sell. And my brother knows about that. Now, the last time I wore a suit back-to-back days, my daughter got married in mid-October in Nevada City, northeast of the Bay Area. So I had a suit, you know, a nice suit for the party the night before when they had a rehearsal dinner, and also for the wedding. And then the time before that I wore a suit was maybe doing boxing in March, I'd say about 2 years ago here in Bakersfield. So I don't think I look that great in suits. That's just my thinking. The people that come to the radio station with suits, man, I'm like, I'm looking for the table. I'm heading underneath, something like that. It's just kind of a strange feeling for me.
Well, yeah, man, I can see if you got chopped by someone in a suit, I could see why it's not your go-to. But, yeah, that's a shady thing if they reassure you 1 second and then send you packing the next. That's not good. I mean, obviously, there's no perfect way to do it. You're getting rid of someone, but that's extra shady to say you're okay.
Feel like the last hired, first fired type of thing. But a person that told me, he might not have been the main person. There's like 3 or 4 guys that came in. And this is back in the days when they had cartridges, you know, before they used computers on the air. And so, you know, 3 guys came in, and the format of the station will change from this to that, and we will be calling it now, let's say, 97 Century FM. And AM will pretty much stay the same except for little glitches here and there. That's what they say. They didn't say a lot. They just said that our jobs were secure, but that doesn't mean anything because, you know, radio people tell you a lot of things and you go a different route. Anyway, no big deal. I want to talk about you. Studied communications at Ball State University. What was it like going to Ball State?
It was pretty much like anywhere else, really, I would imagine. They've got a good communications department. They definitely do. But when I was there, it was just tailored to their staff, you know. And so they had a lot of guys with TV experience. There was a guy that worked on soaps in L.A. There was a guy that had a very heavy movie background in terms of at least watching and critiquing and studying them and all that type of stuff. So their courses were really designed around what personnel they had in terms of professors. So when I was there, there was just one radio class. It was next to nothing as far as radio goes. So it wasn't anything fancy like Syracuse sounds like it is, where it's really preparing you for the business. It was just, you know, I went there for a communications degree and got it, but it really didn't do much of anything to prepare me for radio. I had to learn trial and error like most people, but, you know, it helps to get your foot in the door to get you started, where some people think, oh, you have a college education and, oh, it's got a good reputation and maybe you know what you're doing. I had no idea at all what I was doing. It was all just trial and error.
But you wanted to be a broadcaster, right? That was kind of something that you wanted to do for quite some time?
Not really. I mean, the background for me was I was always into sports. I loved football. I played football and played baseball. And after school, I moved to L.A. I was into music. I played guitar for half my life. So my main loves were sports and music. And so I moved out to L.A., and I was playing in a couple of, like, heavy metal bands, doing all that, and really trying to make music my career. And I learned pretty quick it was going to take far too long to get established. And I felt like a couple of the people I had jammed with were maybe they had been good musicians, and not all of them were flakes, certainly, but there were a couple of flakes where it's like, hey, man, you know, sorry, I missed band practice, dude. This random scenario. And I thought, my future is in this guy's hands. And I didn't like that at all. And so while I was driving and commuting and doing all of that stuff, I was getting more and more into sports radio. And I'm like, wow, this is cool, man. I didn't even really know about it. So I would listen more and more and get into it and like some of the shows. And so I'm like, well, I've always loved sports. I just didn't know what area I could go into and still be a part of sports. And so I thought sports radio would maybe be an avenue for me. And that's when I got interested and pursued that and went back to South Bend and had my first job in my hometown.
So your first job was at ESPN 1620 in South Bend. Was that from 2004 to 2006?
Yeah, yeah. And the story with that, it's funny because I moved from L.A. to Indianapolis, and I just randomly bumped into a college friend of mine. It was a guy I knew at Ball State, and it was just completely – I don't even know how we ran into each other, but we got to talking, and he had a brother who was a sales guy at that cluster of radio stations in South Bend, of all places. And they were starting a morning show, and they were looking for a producer slash on-air guy. And so I would have never known about that if I didn't bump into my college friend. And so I applied for that and got it and got my foot in the door. And it was funny, too, because I'm like, wow, man, ESPN, this is prestigious. Like, I might be making a ton of cash here. I might have just hit the lottery. And I was making minimum wage, man. I was making nothing. Yeah. It was like $5.15, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I thought for a second I might be rich, and it was the opposite, but it gave me a chance to get my foot in the door and sort of work my way up.
You do it for love, man. You do it for love, not money. You got to have a passion,
yeah.
Right, Brian? Is that
well,
what
yeah,
saying?
I mean, that's – I would. You never would have heard my name if I didn't have passion. You got to stick it out with making minimum
right.
wage, and sure, I had that, but, yeah, I thought – I didn't know any better. I'm like, wow, ESPN, that's a huge brand. Like, this might be big. I don't even know what I'm making. And then I found out, and I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I was a little bit off right there.
And then from there, you came back to California, to Fresno, where I went to school at Fresno State, Honor Host PD, iHeart Media, FSR 1340 and 1400 in Fresno. That was from midway through 2006 to the beginning of 2009. What was it like working in Fresno, California?
I liked it a lot. I really did enjoy my time out there in Fresno and had a lot of great memories. I worked with Chris Haynes. Chris Haynes is the NBA insider. Mm-hmm. Chris was actually the producer of the show. I called him the producer. I don't know why. The other funny thing with Chris is Chris, he's a big deal now, man. He's huge. He blew up. But at that time, Chris – he loved three sports figures. It was Dwayne Wade, it was Barry Bonds, and it was Terrell Owens. And for some reason, the show I was doing an afternoon drive show, and Chris would come in during a commercial break because the guy I did the show with, my co-host, he would rip Barry Bonds left and right. And Chris would come in during commercial breaks all fired up and be like, what do you have to say about his batting average and all the intentional walks he draws and all this stuff? He'd just be on fire. And one day I was like, man, dude, you stir stuff up. You're like the straw or something. And that just stuck. I've called him Straw or Straw Diddy ever since. But anyway, I worked with Chris back in Fresno, and those were fun times, man. That was the first real break I got. It's a funny story, too, I'll tell you real fast, where I did not get along with the guy who hired me in South Bend. We butted heads. We did not see eye to eye. And so I was trying anything I could to get out of there. And I applied for a weekend board op job in San Francisco at KNBR. And
okay.
I had talked to one of the people I know in the business, a guy named Rick Scott. He's a consultant and one of these old school sports radio guys. And I just called him up and I was like, hey man, what do you think about this? I'm going after this job. And he said, if you want to be behind the mic, you probably shouldn't go to a market that big and try to work your way up from behind the scenes. You're probably going to stay behind the scenes. And so I told the hiring manager, a girl named Jen Violet, I was like, I told her the exact same thing. And she was like, I totally agree. No problem at all. And she said, hey, I know so-and-so at Fresno or in Fresno, they're looking for an on-air slash PD. Do you want me to just forward all of your stuff to them? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Sounds good. And I got a call. I got a call and I eventually got the job as a PD on-air guy. I never would have known about that job ever. And it was just a random occurrence where she forwarded my resume, and they looked into it and gave me a shot.
Brian Moe's my guest on Mark Men Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. I'm Mark Heffernan. Our number, 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Then you found yourself going back to, was it Albany, New York, And in the Boston area from, let's say, around 2010 to 2013, here in the Midwest, come out to the West Coast, then go back to the East Coast. You're kind of all over the place, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I lost my job from Fresno. It was just a nationwide work reduction. They, when Obama was inaugurated, they chopped 2,000 heads across the country, like Clear Channel.
What a drag.
And, yeah, I was involved in that. That was weird, too. It was a little bit like your story where I never forget. I walked into the building, and a couple of my friends, it was Doug and Dre, and I walk in, and their eyes are the size of golf balls. And I just walk over to him. I was like, what's up, man? What's going on? And Dre goes, the samurai sword is bloody. And I'm like,
no,
what? He's like, man, they're chopping heads left and right. And I'm like, oh, wow. Well, and they let, like, our Fox Sports Radio board op go, who did the Dodger games. And I'm like, oh, shoot, man. Like, I'm like, either they're going to ask me to do the games or I'm out of a job too. And sure enough, it wasn't that much longer where I got a knock on the door and they were like, hey, can you come into the office? And it was, they gave me a nice severance package, but they were just downsizing all across the country. And I'll never forget my producer at the time, a guy named Eric, he walked in like he always does. We were going to prepare for the show and he was going to tell me what guests he booked and all that. And I'm literally throwing stuff into a box. And sometimes I'm way too short with my words, but he showed up like any other day and I was like, hey man, they let me go. And I was just like, kept on walking out. Like that was it. I should have gone into greater detail, but it was just obnoxiously brief. And yeah, that was it. That was the end of the Fresno job. And yeah, I was out of work for, it was about a year and a half. And that was during a recession, so you can imagine. I was calling every station, and I was going to take anything. If I was an update guy, if I was a producer, if whatever, I just wanted to get my foot in the door. I couldn't find anything. Either jobs weren't available, I was overqualified, I was underqualified, it just wasn't working out. And so I was going to go into physical therapy. I was dead serious. I was going to go into physical therapy school. I'm like, I can't be unemployed for the rest of my life. And I was going to do that, and it was just this Albany gig surfaced at the last second. I think Rick Scott put in a good word for me with these people in Albany, and I got that job. Otherwise, I was literally enrolling into classes, and that was probably going to be it for me.
I know the feeling. Sounds like the bell is tolling, huh? Scary. It's very scary when you have talent and you have experience and you can't find a gig. It's not because of what you bring to the table. It's because of everything else, which is really kind of a joke. I'm keeping it clean here, but you, great story there, man. I mean, you've really survived and you persisted. You do a great job. And so it takes a lot. You were talking about people today. I was talking about at the beginning of the show about people being too sensitive about things, too sensitive about jokes that are not vicious. And that's the way it is with a lot of people, whether you call it mental health or not. A lot of people don't have a thick skin. When you work in radio, or if you're a musician like you wanted to be at one time, or you're in the entertainment field, you better have a thick skin or get your butt out of here, because things are going to happen that don't make any sense. You can't put two and two together. Two and two doesn't equal four with some people. It equals seven. And this doesn't necessarily lead to that. I mean, in a perfect world, it will, but it doesn't in life. And so you kind of have to roll the punches a lot. And that's what's really weird. Do you have any special mentors in your life, people that have helped you along? Well, you've mentioned some of them, but how about some of the people that have helped you over the past three or four years? Any special mentors?
There have been a lot of people that have helped. As far as mentors, I think of that in terms of sort of like critiques. If I said, hey, man, here's an air check. If I sent an air check once a month to someone and they listened to it and gave me some notes and, hey, man, this was really good. This was a nice job. Definitely tweak this. Don't do as much as it. I've never really had that. But as far as people that I've stayed in contact with or have either put in a good word for me, or Rick Scott was certainly the first to do that. He was, again, he was more of a consultant and had a sports radio background. He would sometimes have conferences back in the day, but he was very well connected, and he mentioned me for a few jobs. He mentioned me for a potential job in Seattle. He definitely mentioned me for the job in Albany that worked out. He mentioned for me at ESPN National, so I got a tryout there. I got to meet Scott Masteller. He was the guy running ESPN at the time, and I've been able to stay in contact with him, and he's been able to put me in touch with a couple of people, and he's a really good dude. I would also say Bruce Gilbert. Bruce Gilbert is the dude who hired me at Fox Sports Radio. He was the guy who hired Colin Cowherd, most notably when he was at ESPN. But Bruce hired me at Fox, and he's always been a good dude to me. And I would say recently, Sean Thompson. Sean is the guy in Atlanta, and I did some fill-in stuff when he was at 92.9 The Game, right around before Christmas time, around December. So I've worked with him. He just got the gig in Phoenix. He's over at Arizona Sports 98.7 now in Phoenix. He just moved there. But he was a really good dude, and it's given me a chance. So I look at it like that, you know. It's one thing to say, oh, man, really great audio, love what you're doing here, going to keep you in mind, and it never turns into anything. Yeah, it's another thing when they're like, we need you. Can you help? You know, it turns into action. Those are the people that, you know it's real, that they're looking out for you and giving you a shot.
Well, actions are more important than words, as you said. Brian, now what hours are you on Fox Sports Radio during the week? What are your times?
Well, it's all the weekend stuff. You want me to do Pacific time or Pacific time would be.
We're somewhat intelligent here. You can go Eastern time. It's cool.
Okay. All right. Well, it's Friday night, so I count it as Friday night. It's technically Saturday morning. It's like overnight shift is the first thing I do is from 2 to 6 a.m. So we get, some of the truckers, some of the nocturnal people. It's let your hair down, anything goes stuff. So I love those type of hours, man. That's fun stuff for me. So 2 to 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Then I'll do Saturday evening from 7 to 10 p.m. And then I have another quick turnaround and do a Sunday morning show from 6 to 9 a.m. So it's a very weird schedule.
Quite a bit on the weekends, and like you said, a very quick turnaround.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's an odd thing. It was weird because it used to be more standard. I used to do, I guess it would be 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. And for a couple of years, I was doing that Sunday show with Brady Quinn, the former Notre Dame quarterback.
Right.
And they switched me off of that. They switched me off of that shift and into the morning on Sunday, and they put Jonas Knox with Brady Quinn, and they were doing that shift for a little while. And now that's the morning show for Fox Sports Radio, is Jonas Knox and LeVar Arrington and Brady Quinn. But when Brady Quinn first started working at Fox Sports Radio, we were working together for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's when I heard you quite a bit with Brady Quinn. Good show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Brian,
yeah,
how can
people
get in touch with you? How can they get in touch with you, listeners?
My phone number is 574. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't give that out. But definitely Twitter is probably the best way. Twitter is the best.
Okay.
At the No Show. I spell my last name N-O-E. But it's at
That's
the
right.
No Show is where anybody could find me on Twitter.
Hey, Brian, no. Thanks a lot for being on Mark Men Madness.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
Hey, dude, have a great week, and thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me, and don't be afraid of people in suits, Mark. You know, not all people in suits are bad people.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm kind of kidding.
Yeah.
Take care, man.
All right, man, you too. I'll catch you later.
Bye. Okay. And you're listening to Mark Men Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. Our number 347-205-9631 and 347-205-9631. And Mr. Mark Mancini is our friend Mr. Hewitt, waiting to close out the show today. Maybe he's not. Now, he's scheduled to be on next week. He's the Portland State announcer. Yes, he's there. Mr.
Yes,
Hewitt,
I am
you're
here.
On. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Just enjoying the March Madness, as always. It's been a crazy run, and there are always these unpredictable stories in the tournament. And that really was probably the highlight of my broadcasting career, is getting to broadcast two games in the tournament for Portland State back in 08 against Kansas, who went on to win the tournament. And a funny note on that one, I think we lost by 19, actually played pretty decent. And then Duke ended up beating them by 21. And our coach, Ken Bone, who's now at Pepperdine, was at Washington State, texted me and said, well, at least we're better than Duke. So what a thrill it was, though, for a kid that is, you know, basketball my whole life, and to get to do the NC2A tournament. The next year was in Boise against Xavier, and what a group of athletes they had. We were overmatched in that one.
Well, I think we have a couple of great games coming up next weekend, with North Carolina playing Duke for the first time ever in the NCAA tournament, and then Villanova against Kansas. You talk about outstanding coaches. Of course, Hubert Davis is kind of a youngster as far as the head coach is concerned, longtime successor to our assistant to Roy Williams there at UNC. But North Carolina's looked very good in the tournament. Good size underneath, very fast, like to run up and down the court. I think Duke likes to take it to the rack more. And remember, North Carolina won at Duke in Mike Krzyzewski's final home game at Duke, which he wasn't very pleased about. North Carolina played very well that day. And why were the Tar Heels an eighth seed? So it'll be Duke and North Carolina next week. I picked UCLA in the East and Gonzaga in the West, so I was wrong on both accounts. But who do you like in the North Carolina-Duke matchup? And my question to you is, why was North Carolina seeded number eight? Something I missed, I guess, during the regular season.
Well, actually, I was a head basketball coach before I became a broadcaster, and at a lower level than that, but I was a fill-in for 3 years for a guy who went to get his doctorate when I was only 26 years of age, and he had a very successful program. So I compare that to Hubert Davis. I mean, that is very difficult to replace a legend like that, and it takes a while to get things going. We used to say about transfers and junior college transfers, it's about January 15th when you really start to see what they are as players and have them mesh together as a team. And watching North Carolina, that definitely has been the case. But you want to peak at the right time, and they are doing that. So what a great matchup. And the fact that they've never met each other in the NC2A tournament is really remarkable. And it's going to be quite a fun Saturday afternoon. And Hubert will test himself against Coach K, and he's already done it on the road. That was a game where Duke was in pretty much in control at halftime, but just fell apart in the second half of that game. I don't expect that to happen this weekend. I think they're on a bit of a mission, and that inner motivation of those players to see Coach K go out on top, as John Wooden did with Richard Washington leading them in 1975. Yeah. I think we might see that come to fruition again.
Well, you don't want to be on a Duke team that loses on Coach K's final game. I mean, there is a certain amount of pressure there, but it should be a great outing, as you said. Okay, in the other semifinal, we have Villanova and Jay Wright against Kansas and Bill Self. I mean, we have great coaches here, guys that are all Hall of Famers. You look at Coach K going for title number six. Also, Jay Wright going for his third title at Villanova, and Self going for number two at Kansas. Both have won a lot of games, went to a lot of Final Fours. I think this is number four for Wright and number four for Bill Self, or Krzyzewski, of course, number 13 Final Four, for Davis number one. But Kansas looked very strong in the second half against Miami. They came alive, really take it to the rack very well, a fast team. Villanova, I think, like to slow it down more, but excellent defensively, of course, a great coach and Wright. Do you look at that as a matchup of different styles? And who do you favor in that game between Villanova and Kansas?
Well, I think the injury to Villanova and the fact that they only play six or seven players is going to hurt them in this game. Actually, our second year when we played Xavier at Villanova was in the same pod, so I got a chance to see them up close. And, you know, it's just amazing. Philadelphia, you can go all the way back to Jack Ramsey in the early 60s, Philadelphia street ball, and Coach Chaney and what he did at Temple, and Historically, Jimmy Lynam did it at St. Joe's also. It's just been such a great basketball city, and that's kind of the way Villanova does it. I mean, they do it with a lot of local guys who have a lot of pride in Philadelphia basketball, but I think they just might get overmatched by the talent and the depth of Kansas with their nationwide recruiting and what Bill Self has done with that. So I think we're looking at Bill Self and Coach K in the championship game.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, Coach K going for number 6 and Self will be going for number 2. Now, Bill Self has won a lot of games in his career, but sometimes his teams have struggled in, you know, in critical stages in the tournament. As you know, it's very tough to win one championship, and Coach K has won 5. Both have had great talent over the years. They don't suffer in that department. It's a matter of execution. It also is a matter of who you're playing in that next game. And obviously, as you would know, Mr. Hewitt, you can't look ahead because Duke's playing North Carolina. They're all-time rival. North Carolina's very good, playing at a high level. And Kansas is playing Villanova. So you can't overlook the Wildcats and Jay Wright. So even though there may be a tendency to overlook that game, you can't because all four teams are so solid and all four coaches are so great. I look at it as just both games should really go down to the wire if you ask me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And oftentimes we overcomplicate things so much, and particularly with the three-point line, sometimes it can be quite as simple as it comes down to making shots. And oftentimes you have open shots and team reverts to the free throw line. If you shoot in these clutch games considerably lower than your yearly percentage at the free throw line, it can cost you a basketball game. And those things really don't have a lot to do with coaching. I mean, you try and do everything you can to have your players relaxed and make the shots that they can make, but you never know what gets into a 18 to 21-year-old kid's head when everything is on the line, or, you know, how he reacts to missing a couple of shots and if that continues. So, you know, early shooting by your shooters is oftentimes a big key to how the game's going to turn out.
You know, Coach K was talking about their victory the other day after the game. He said, you know what, I don't make the shots at the end of the game. I know I have very talented kids, but they're very young. We made mistakes during the course of the year. We made some mistakes during the tournament. But at the end of the game, they're the ones that are executing the game plan. They're making the shots. I'm not. They're making the free throws. He was talking about, you know, the character of his players and how proud he is of them, win or lose. And, yes, he'd like to win, but he'd like to win for them. Yeah, he liked to win for himself, but I think he liked to win for his players more than for himself. He says, I just want to be honest with people. I've been here for 42 years, and I've had excellent coaches. I've had great talent. And it's not me that's, you know, making plays at the end of a lot of these games. So, you know, he said, X's and O's are one thing, but you can't make 15-footers or three-pointers for players at the end of the game. The players have to do it. It's up to them, you know, ultimately at the end of the day.
Yeah, we've had a chance, you know, with Steph Curry with the Warriors, and I had a personal opportunity. I think I broadcast 8 or 9 of Damian Lillard's college games. I mean, these are just two guys that separate themselves mentally with the ability to be focused and make just tremendously big shots at the biggest moments, and that's what it's going to take. And, you know, that really hasn't happened for a lot of these guys. It happens in situations like this. When you do it and you have the chance to do it this weekend, and then once you've done it once, it's easier to do the second time. And pretty soon, you know, one of these players is going to come out with that kind of confidence and, who knows, develop into a pro who is a great shot maker and a clutch shot maker at the end of games.
Well, we know that these schools have won championships in the past, but none of the players on any of these four teams, I don't believe, has won an NCAA championship. It's been a few years. North Carolina won in 2017. Villanova won in 2016. So the pedigree is there, but can you do it when the pressure is on? Now, obviously, there are players on all these teams that have made shots during the course of this year and also in their conference tournament and maybe previously in this NCAA tournament, but not in the Final Four and not in a championship game. So we're going up a different level every single week, every 2 days or so. And the pressure, you know, mounts on and on. And so it'd be interesting. North Carolina against Duke, Villanova against Kansas. Coach Hewitt, broadcaster Hewitt, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, they could probably best email. I'm Professor Twine Time I know it's long, but I had a little shooting clinic that I used to do and catching names. So ProfessorTwineTime@yahoo.com. That's probably the best way. I'm semi-retired now down in Arizona, but I do a lot of public address announcing at local high school here, Hamilton High School, which is wildly successful in all sports in Chandler, Arizona. And it's, you know, just as gratifying to do a high school game, whether it be girls or boys, as it was to do an NCAA tournament, just to be a part of the competition and the coaches and everything that goes with athletics. So I'm blessed to still be involved in it, even if it is just at that level.
Well, the thing about the kids at that level, they're playing with their heart. They're not playing for money. As you know, a lot of them will not play at the next level. Some of them will. And the kind of excitement that they get just making a shot and actually entering a game and playing is amazing.
Yeah.
I do a lot of girls and boys basketball, too, at the high school level. And a lot of them, they're great kids. You know, you talk to them, and they have aspirations, not so much in sports, but in life. And I talk to them about that, and we talk about being persistent, not giving up, and being there for their teammates and things like that. And they come and go, you know. 1, 2, 3, and 4 years is very, very quickly. And there's so much that happens in a person's life in the 4 years in high school. You basically, you grow up, you go from being a little kid to a young adult in so many ways. You kind of separate from your parents. You become independently minded. So those are very important times in a person's life. Can you be on the program next week like we originally scheduled?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that way we can talk more about your career at Portland State. I was kind of in a hurry today. I thought that Brian Noe was calling me, and then I found, as I was talking, I found out it was you, and then I saw that Brian was on. Well, once I was on with you for 2 minutes, Brian was on, so I talked with him, then back with you. So as you know, doing live radio like I do here, podcasting, anything happens. Sometimes the show's just, I have this guest, works out fine. I have another guest, works out fine. Other times, I'm all over the place. But I think since we hit about the 18 after the hour, I became okay because I had great guests like you and Brian Noe. At any rate, I will talk to you next week. And thanks a lot for joining me. And I'll get back to you during the course of the week. We can talk more in depth about your time at Portland State and your teaching, things like that, because I think today was more of a quick type of thing.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, I want to give you your due time. That's what I'm all about.
Okay, man.
Thanks a lot. You take care. Bye. Well, we've had kind of a crazy Markman Madness, but that's why you call it Markman Madness, marking other people. When I think that one person's on the line talking to me, and it's actually the second person, and then I talk to the second person first, followed by the person who is first, second, and then we work it out at the end. We work it out at the end. Think about a podcast. It doesn't have as much structure as maybe a regular radio program, but I like to have structure and spontaneity. Sometimes structure comes first. Sometimes spontaneity comes first. But at the end of the day, it all comes together. Thank you to Brian Noe of Fox Sports Radio and Tom Hewitt of the Portland State area, now living in Arizona, doing PA in that region, for being on the show today. And Tom will be back next week for us on the program. And thank you very much for listening to the show and putting up with me, 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Our producer is Mark Mancini of Mancini Media. I'll tell you what, man, he does a great job kind of organizing this type of thing. MMM is on from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time every Monday right here on Blog Talk Radio. We may be on at 6 p.m. next week. I will let you know as I get information about that. So we might be on at 6 p.m. next Monday here on Blog Talk Radio for Marked Men Madness. It can be crazy. It can be crazy from time to time. Okay. North Carolina against Duke. Villanova against Kansas. I'm going with Duke and Kansas to play in the championship 1 week from today on a Monday night. Thank you very much for joining us. God bless you. And I will talk to you next week right here on Blog Talk Radio for Markman Madness. God bless you. Good night. I'm Mark Heffernan.